Hi, I'm Mike Bain from Christian Voice New Zealand. Having had our lives disrupted by the COVID pandemic over the past 2 years, I want to ask you a question. How are you going? We've had our share of anxiety perpetuated by the fear-mongering of our government, supported by the many analysts with their guesses. And who could forget the epidemiologists who became household names wheeled out night after night on our television screens? So the question is, how are you? Feeling better knowing that the occupation of Parliament is over and mandates may end, the borders are reopening and families coming home? Or are you concerned now about the cost, the rise of living cost, empty shelves at the supermarket, rising inflation and petrol in some parts of our country over $3 a litre? And of course there's the war in Ukraine. Is it all impacting on our mental state? You know, I was recently involved in a discussion with friends about well-being. They tell me that the war in Ukraine puts our problems in the past 2 years into perspective. Now, I agreed that not being allowed into a cafe or restaurant because I didn't or refused to show my vax certificate was minimal to having your city pounded by the Russian army. But at the same time, let's not minimise our problems just because someone is going through something greater. Right now, it's a fearful time. But keep in mind, we are, as our leaders say, we're living in unprecedented times. Christians around the world certainly have no doubt what these unprecedented times are. In the Bible book of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples on the Mount of Olives about today's unprecedented times as the end times. In Matthew 24, verse 6, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains." And further down in verse 32, he said, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened." And there's some great news in verse 35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." You know, our state of mind does have a huge bearing on how we see things. We're not to be brought down, and we're encouraged to throw our burdens onto the Lord, for he is there to help carry them. As the psalmist says in 68, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens." So going back to the idea that our problems are not as great as the people in Ukraine. Well, it depends on the circumstances, whether we take a victim mentality or not. You know, having your home bombed may cause you rightful anxiety, but it's not the same thing happening to our neighbours, our community and our country. You have the right to be aggrieved, but you know, sometimes we have to accept there are a lot of things that are out of our control. It was Paul who said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Now, I was encouraged to read an article by an American-born pastor and missionary, Benjamin Morrison, last week, who, along with his Ukrainian-born wife and their two children, they've been living in the for the past 20 years in the Ukrainian city of Svitlovodsk. It's a tough one. Putting things into perspective, Morrison says Russia has been warring against Ukraine since 2014, but he said this is an unprecedented phase. Still, it's amazing how quickly one gets used to the mundane realities of war, he said. On day one, the news of other cities being bombed caused great anxiety in the city of where he lived. He says the fact that the news woke us up before dawn and was very unexpected made it much worse. The intent to cause panic seemed planned. But now, on day seven, the adrenaline has worn off. We've become used to the 8 o'clock curfew and sitting in the dark apartment at night. Morrison said they found themselves ignoring some of the air raid sirens, especially the ones in the middle of the night. He said, "We're so exhausted." We've also learned that not every siren means a bomb might drop on our heads. Now, I admit, not everyone can do what Morrison is now doing, and there are times that the family heads to the bomb shelter. But taking advantage, not sitting with his family mithering about their lot, he takes it as an opportunity to share the hope of Christ with their neighbours. Bomb Shelter Ministry is, he admits, not a ministry profile he thought he'd ever had, and yet he's already seeing how fruitful it's been. He said our neighbours have heard more about Christ, heard more scripture, and have been led in prayer more times in the last week than most would ever have in their lives. In addition to the Our Father prayer, I've taken to reading various psalms with them, a particularly fitting book for us in Ukraine, as David often cries out amid being hunted by his enemies. One of our neighbours, who's the equivalent of their building superintendent, the other night, in the bomb shelter, she said with tears in her eyes how thankful she was to have neighbours like us. She said she can't understand where we came from. And we got to remind her that if there is something different, it is only because of the hope that Christ gives us. Despite considerable time spent in the bomb shelter during air raids, his city has so far avoided any actual bombing. There's a lack of strategic targets nearby, which I think is a blessing. This, along with the fact that we are at the crossroads in the country, and that has made his city a refugee destination, and that and God's providence. This is the case with most refugees who make it this far. He says, we're just an inn for weary travellers on the way. But we hope to serve them and help them experience the love and the peace of Christ, even if only for a few hours. He said, it's not our job to force them into faith, an evangelistic approach that really produces satisfactory results. Rather, we will play whatever role God wants us, whether it be to plant a seed, to water, or to harvest when ready. He is the one who brings the fruit in his time, and we can rest in that. All of these stories should remind us of the vital truth that God's victory is always subversive. Whatever the enemy intends for evil, God always takes and uses for good. This means that the more the enemy rages, he only brings his own destruction closer. God turns his enemy's weapons against him, just as David did with Goliath's sword, and what Christ did in his death on the cross. You know, when the enemy thought he finally had Jesus right where he wanted him, it turned out he was dealing his own death blow. Our Lord overcame by using the enemy's own weapons against him. Morrison says, we take comfort in that, especially as Ukraine faces an enemy who rages both in the devil, who loves to steal, kill and destroy, and in those pseudo-kings who are the devil's pawns. Now, Benjamin believes both will shortly find themselves overthrown by God's wonderfully ironic victory. So he wants us to pray for the refugees that they're expecting over the next few days. Pray that they'll serve them well and show them the love of Christ and that God will open doors. Pray for strength and wisdom amid so many needs. Pray for the people who Benjamin comes into contact with to come to know the beauty of the gospel of their lives. Pray for God's subversive victory to come swiftly against the tyrant terrorizing the country, and pray for God to be glorified in the humbling, the pride of man. Final word. Regardless of your circumstances, God will use you. Whatever burdens you have, he will carry them. And keep lifting your eyes to the heavens, because this is where your salvation will come from. So, hearing Benjamin Morrison's story, what can you do to turn your current circumstances into a positive for the kingdom of God? How can you turn your test into your testimony?
Thank you for listening. Help us to spread this message by sharing it within your own network. For more information, jump online to our website, christianvoicenewzealand.com.